Yeshua was born, and this is why. A lot of people talk about him being born at Tabernacles, and I'll tell you why that's not really scriptural. It's because the shepherds were still in the field. Okay? Now look, somebody asked me about a book I could find this in, and there is a book, and I'm thinking the guy's, his last name is Hislop, H-I-S-L-O-P, and it's something to do with the Babylonian mystery religion, but I've got to pull that book out and try to find copies for everybody. But look here, you can look at it from simple common sense. When you live the holy days, your life follows a pattern, right? Come on, some of y'all have been doing it now for the last year, and your life is falling into a pattern. The shepherds came in for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and they didn't go back out because there's only two and a half, three days effectively in your life of living it between Atonement and Sukkot. And so you don't have time to take the sheep back out before Tabernacles. And after Tabernacles, it's like here, it gets cold, it starts raining, you know, and so they didn't go back out again after that. So they were still in the fields for trumpets. And that's why there were shepherds in the field when the angels came to herald the birth of Christ. Hey, that's a pretty cool little thing, right? So, here we are at the Feast of Trumpets in 2008. What a great time to be alive in these United States. I know a lot of folks are looking at the turmoil, the financial turmoil, the bailout didn't pass yesterday. Some folks are happy, some folks are sad. The market sold off, so evidently they weren't too happy about it. But you know, these are great, exciting times to be alive. Yeah. Amen? The Lord is coming soon. Yeah. One of these Feasts of Trumpets, the Lord is going to show up. And he was impressing on me in the worship that, when are you going to worship me back? Now you stop and think about that. If the Feast of Tabernacles isn't kept with sufficient vigor and the Spirit of God, we may delay the Lord's coming. You know, it's up to us to worship him on these holy days. And for those of us that are keeping these days, it's up to us to worship him back. Hey, that ought to be some shouting right there for somebody. Think about it. We get the chance to worship him back. Come on, somebody. How bad do you want him? How bad do you want him back? Well, see, we show that on the Feast of Trumpets in our worship. I don't know about you. I want him pretty bad. I want him pretty bad. So the time is short. The days are evil. Are you redeeming your time? All of us should be familiar with the Bible verse to redeem the time because the days are evil. Are you redeeming your time? When Jesus looks at your life, does what he see make him want to come and take you to the rescue? When he's looking at your life the other days of the week, does what he see make him want to come down and take you? Because look, children, your parents can't get you in. Mom and dad, your children can't get you in. It's an individual basis. The Lord is looking at everybody's life, and every one of us has to live a life that's going to make him want to do it. You know, these are not the days and the times to play with God. Look at the world around you. The Russians are talking about war. The Iranians are talking about detonating nuclear pulse bombs over the United States. As a matter of fact, Sandy was telling me that on, what's that? That's that real big Bible guy, Hal Lindsey, this Friday night on TBN, that some of the test shots they've done only make sense if you're looking at them from the point of detonating an electromagnetic pulse bomb. In other words, they don't make sense for a rocket attack on Israel. They only make sense to put a bomb up and blow it up in outer space. This is what they're testing for. Funny, Psalm 83 lists Germany and Persia and Libya as the countries that will come after us. Ooh, amazing how it's working out exactly the way God said it would. Funny how that happens. Man, just the way God said. So are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? And if not, just when did you plan on getting ready? I mean, think about it. If you're not going to do it now, just when were you going to get ready? What's it going to take? Does the currency have to actually collapse before you decide, you know, maybe I think I better get ready now that I can't buy anything with the money? Huh? Are you waiting for an email? Does God have to send you a personal email signed Jesus for you to decide, you know, I think maybe I better take my calling seriously this time? What does it have to take? Do they have to start dropping bombs on America before you decide, you know, this is a good time to get up off of it and get after my calling? When are we going to get after it? You see, the thing is, the time is short. We should already be well after our calling. We should be well on the road to making that calling and election sure. And part of doing that is walking this way of life. Living His holy days, keeping His Sabbaths holy, following the dietary laws, paying those tithes. This is an important part of getting yourself ready. You know, we were talking about the wedding last night when we went out to eat. And the bride is obligated to make herself ready. Many people don't realize this, but the early steps of Christianity are the early steps to the Jewish wedding. Amen? You accepted Jesus as your Savior. That's accepting Him as the man. You have taken communion, and the bread and the wine that you share there is the bread and wine that sealed the engagement. You were water baptized, and every bride, once the engagement was sealed, took a mikvah, which is a water baptism. You've gone through the steps. This is your ketubah. Have you read it? You see, you're expected to follow what's written in here because you said you would. Now, if we've read it, if we haven't read it, how are we going to follow what's in it? But we're responsible for every word from Genesis to Maps. Oh my goodness. But you see, here's the thing. When He comes back, He's only taking the ones who are ready. Ooh, that's some hard right there. Because a lot of Christians got into the wedding easy enough at the engagement, but we're off playing the fool when it comes to preparing for the wedding. Okay? And guess what? He says that I'm not going there. Matthew 24, that two will be in the field. One will be taken. One will be left. Okay, the Greek words there clear the whole thing up. One will be paralambanoed. That's the word used in John 14 when He says, I will paralambano you to be with Me. The other word for left is aphiemi in the Greek, and it means divorced. Come on, y'all. A Jewish wedding is binding at the engagement. So He's coming to receive some of the bride to Himself for the wedding, and He's coming to divorce the others because they didn't make themselves ready. They didn't honor their contract. Oh, not good. So are you ready? What will it take? For any discerning Bible reading person, the signs are all evident. I can categorically tell you the return of Jesus Christ will be in my lifetime. Maybe in the next decade. I'm not setting dates. So if the Lord delays His coming, don't try to sacrifice Pastor Bill. It won't hurt you to be ready early. But if I'm right and you're not ready, you'll be divorced. That's no place to be. That's no place to be. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Because I have a right now word from the Lord Jesus Christ for you today. How many of y'all want a right now word from the Lord? I was just talking to the Lord when I was getting ready for church on Sabbath, and I was saying, Lord, you know, you haven't given me anything for trumpets yet. It's getting close. And the Lord said to me, stay the course. For those of you who are living right, for those of you who are serving God and following Him by obeying His commandments, He's telling you to stay the course. Remember, last year His word was, my reward is with me. This year He's saying, stay the course. Revelation 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. Now the church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. The church of Philadelphia, these people have the brotherly love. What did Jesus say? This is a sign of my disciples that you beat each other about the head and shoulders over every little minutia of doctrine. This is the sign of my disciples that you're holier than everybody else. No, He said that you love one another. This is the church of the brotherly love. And look at the things He says to them. These are good words. These are the words of Him who's holy and true, holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut. Him. What He shuts, no one can open. Hey, that's pretty cool. I like having the Lord with me, because when He makes a way, when all hell breaks loose against me, we still go right on through. Hey, I like that. I don't know about you, but I like that. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut, and I know you have little strength, yet you've kept my word, and if not, denied my name. This is good word for this little flock. They know Him. They're keeping His word. All of it. Genesis to maps. They're living it. It's not a matter of they're talking it, they're walking it. Every day in their life, when nobody's looking, they're going to the buffet line and pulling off the stuff God says okay to eat. They're going to keep the Sabbath no matter what. You can always count on them. God knows that. And He says, because you are faithful to me, I have opened the door no man can shut. You have little strength, but I'm going to supply the need. When you go through, I'm going to make it done. You're spreading my word. You're teaching my laws. You're walking in my covenant, and you will get your reward. Come on, somebody, give the Lord some praise. There's a church of people on this earth today right now who are pleasing Yeshua, and He's happy with their works. He's happy with their works. That's a good place to be. These people are not doing a large work because He's having to hold the door. He says, see, you have little strength. They don't have a great many people following. They have few resources and few workers, but they're getting it done for Him. Come on, what He wants done. There's a lot of churches preaching what He doesn't want done. There are a dime a dozen and on the corner of every street. Oh, cheap, easy, free grace, just come on in as you are. But the problem is, they're letting them stay that way. It's okay to bring them in as they are. How else are you going to bring them in? They're not going to change before they come to church, amen? But you're not supposed to stay that way. God says, I call the weak and the base to confound the mighty, not to call the weak and the base to sit here and hang out. Come on, somebody. We are a part of getting that done. We're a part of that. We're a part of that. Living the right ways. Preaching the true gospel of the coming kingdom of God. You know, heaven's not an end game. I hate to wake a lot of folks up, but the Lord's coming back to earth. You know, if you get a little further back to the back of the book, the last chapter, God the Father's coming to earth. Amen? So heaven is coming here. So it's not the end game to go to heaven and sit on a cloud and play a harp. The end game is to set up the kingdom of God and to raise up the rest of the dead and teach them how to live. Come on, somebody. God's plan is bigger than us. So, are you living in the ways that uphold the laws of God? You know, He didn't say all that stuff in the Old Testament just to hear Himself talk. Are you walking it? Are you upholding it? Are you making it so? Are you honoring the Sabbath and the holy days? It's an important part of being that true Philadelphia church because He says, I know your works. That word works can also be translated works of the law. You see, you're saved by grace. None of us will ever earn our salvation. But you know, after we're saved, we better start doing some works of the law because that's what our reward is based on. After we're saved, we better start living right because Jesus is expecting His bride to make herself pure, clean, and holy with the water of the Word. Amen. And that Word doesn't start in Matthew. It starts in Genesis. Are you touching not the unclean thing? Let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Touch not the unclean thing. Come on, now look, our whole endeavor here is based on worshiping in the presence of God. Our whole endeavor, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, our whole thing is based on worship in the manifest presence of the Lord. How can you worship in the manifest presence of the Lord if you're still touching the unclean things? Think about it, man. He doesn't call them abominations for nothing. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, therefore come out from them and be separate. Now, that doesn't mean quit going to work and talking to the folks there. That doesn't mean that you don't smile and be happy at folks in the Walmart line when you're waiting to check out your groceries. That doesn't mean to not talk to people. It says don't follow in their ways. Don't live the way they're living. Come out and be separate. Live the way I told you to live. And if you're nice enough to people and they see your good works, maybe somebody will get curious. Come on, man. And then you can witness to them. So, come out from them and be separate, says Yahweh. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I can't think of a better verse in the Bible to justify why we follow the dietary laws, because He says some of those things are unclean. And if you touch them, then He's not going to receive you. I don't know about you, but I live to be received when I come to church. Amen. I live to be received by the Lord. Besides that, that word receive is that same word, paralambano. Touch not the unclean thing and I will paralambano you. See, it gets back to that wedding. It gets back to that wedding, man. We're supposed to be going to a wedding. We're supposed to be getting ready. I will be the father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh El Shaddai. Man, this heavy verse. Are we loyal to God in our tithing? That's first and second tithing. Now look, y'all. A lot of folks, it's hard to understand how come 80 cents can spend and cover your whole dollar budget. But trust me, it can, because God makes the way. You know, I was thinking as we came into the trumpet season, how many things I've been through. Now, at dinner, we talked about some of the trials and tribulation of our early marriage. And we didn't have the typical life that a lot of folks in America had. We went through really, really hard times. And we didn't tell you the worst of the stories. We told you the best of the stories. A lot of folks hadn't been through some of the stuff we've been through. But my point is this. We came in to this way of life in 1986. And I started tithing right before that in December of 85. But I didn't find out about feast tithing until May. And I said, we were talking about making our plans and reservations to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And they said, well, have you made your reservations yet? Well, no. Well, man, you got to get on that because they go quick. And they did. Everybody made their reservations right on the day we were allowed, you know. And it was just, well, what the church did was the church negotiated a large contract with all the hotels to get a discount. And so they made everybody wait to a certain day because they took care of the poor in the church to make sure they could get the low dollar accommodations so that they could keep the feast. There was a legitimate reason for it. But then when the day came we could all do it, then hey, everybody did it all at once because you're trying to get the best deal, right? Well, we didn't do it right away. Because I wasn't saving feast tithe. Because nobody told me about feast tithe. Ah. So sometime around May, we have to take whatever accommodations we can get. And then I'm like, how are we going to pay for this? But you know, the Lord makes a way. He made a way that year. We went to the Feast of Tabernacles with $400 in our pocket to go to St. Petersburg, Florida. You know, we couldn't even spend our money. We told we had to spend it all by the end of the last great day. We couldn't even spend all our money because nobody let us buy anything. You know, the whole point is that once I started doing it, God made the way. Look, I went through times I made $250 for 2 weeks worth of work. Come on, that's not much money. And it wasn't much then either. And it didn't begin to cover my $2,200 a month bills. You know what I'm saying? $250 doesn't do anything. I'd hardly put gas in my car to keep going to work in that day. So the Lord makes the way. Through the trials, through the tribulations, with the ups and downs, over the course of time, you look back and you can see that while you were getting swamped and didn't think he was there, he was bringing you on through, making the way. You just save your feast tithes. You bring your what little tithe you got to his feast days. You celebrate before him with all the joy and all the worship you can muster, and he will make the way. Man, we got to trust God. You know, that's the whole problem. Here, come on. Raina was saying this the other day. You know, sin is a lack of faith. I think last night you said it in front of the group. You know, it's true. We sit there and we look, I can't set this aside. No, you know what? In the natural, you really can't set that aside. Amen? You are not wrong in that thinking because it will not work in the natural. But we're serving a supernatural God who promised if you walk in his covenant, he will make the way. So when are we going to finally step up and say, God, you know what? I know I don't have this figured out, and I know you do. So guess what? I'm just going to do it. Amen. You know, and when we finally come to that place, it all works. I'm not saying you won't have your share of hard times, but you know what? Most likely it was coming to you anyway. I've been through bankruptcy and foreclosure over some of this stuff. So people tell me, well, you know, Pastor Bill, I'll lose my job. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, you probably will. But the question isn't whether you lose your job. The question is whether you trust God enough to go through losing your job for him. Amen. I've lost jobs. Look, I've had golden opportunities to come to me to make me rich if only I would work on the Sabbath. I didn't take them. I was told I needed a new head. She was there. She'll tell you it was a real deal thing. I can't repeat anything else that was said in the conversation. I didn't take it. I would have gotten rich. I would have made a lot of money. And I was desperately poor at the time and could have used it. Wasn't like I was plenty wealthy and I don't need that. No, I was desperate for it. But I turned it down because it was going to require me to work on the Sabbath and the holy days. And I wasn't giving up my covenant relationship with God Almighty because riches aren't going to help me on the day Jesus comes back. In fact, they may condemn me to the great tribulation to learn why I needed him more. Oh, see, that's some heavy stuff right there. That's some heavy stuff. So the Lord is saying to you right now, if you're walking in this way, stay the course. Stay the course. No matter what trials come, no matter what tribulations you have to go through, just stay the course, because your God will see you through and you will receive rescue if you stay the course. For those that aren't quite on board with everything yet, He's reaching out to you and He's telling you, get on board. Get on course. Get on course. This is the course that He wants. And just get on course. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Fresh hot manna from heaven. Do not grow weary and lose heart. Stay the course. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We haven't gone through what Jesus went through. Nobody's drug us out and beat us to death. Nobody's going to carry us up to a hill and hike us up on a cross till we're dead. And that's not going to happen to us. So we can't grow weary in the momentary trials that come, because they're going to come. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. We're in America. Nobody's even persecuting us. Come on. We're just going through the little normal trials of life. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement. Now look, it's not kind of the encouragement that I really like to get. You know, the kind of encouragement I want is a pat on the back and, oh, you're doing a good job, Billy, it'd be all right. But look at what he's saying is encouragement. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. That's supposed to be encouragement. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline and lose heart when he rebukes you. Of course we lose heart when the Lord rebukes us. Nobody likes to get rebuked. Come on, man. We're Americans. We don't like being rebuked. We don't like being told we're wrong. We don't like anybody up in our face and coming after us. Come on. I mean, let's get real. It's America. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He's not like us. He disciplines those he loves. He punishes every person he accepts as a child of the living God. You're not going to be restored to Adam before the fall. Amen. You're going to be made a child of the living God. That's why this is so important. He said, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If you can't be faithful walking this life, how can you be made faithful as a son of God? If you can't be faithful walking in the body of flesh over your house payment and your car payment and your children, how can you be faithful as a child of God carrying the authority of the Father when you go places? See, we don't really look at this right. We're looking to be restored to Adam before the fall. Hey, that's the people in the millennial reign. We're talking about you. You've been offered something much more profound. You've been offered something much greater. Do you want to go back to the lesser reward? You've been offered a chance to be the literal children of God. We just read that. But you have to walk like it. And you have to talk like it. And you have to carry yourself, because you're going to bear His name, not your name. Come on, somebody. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you are not disciplined and everybody undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. That's a lost cause in today's world. Nobody understands that anymore. But it's still true. It's still true. So how much more should we then submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Do you want to live? I don't know about you, but I want to live. I don't mean in my body. I mean, I want my spirit to live forever with Jesus. Amen. That's what he's talking about. If you want to live, then you've got to submit to his discipline. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our eternal good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. It was painful to lose my house. Come on, y'all. That wasn't easy. Losing your house is hard, and the repercussions follow you for years afterwards. Even when you explain the story, they still look at you over their glasses and go, why should we give you another loan? It takes years to overcome that. Then you have to scuffle around for a place to live, and you have to hear your children ask you all the time, Daddy, why can't we live like everybody else? Daddy, why don't we have a nice house? Daddy, why do we have to live like this? And every time, they don't realize it, that knife is plunging down in your heart because you're not giving your children what they deserve. Now, the repercussions are long-lasting for some of these things. Daddy, why don't we have a nice job? Why don't we drive nice cars? They don't understand the answer when you tell them it's because I gave it all up to follow God. They don't understand that. But you know what? My reward is not here. My reward is not here. There will be a day on these days of trumpets when Jesus is going to judge the saints and he's going to reward every one of us for our works. Will you have works to be rewarded? I will have some. I'm not boasting with that. I will have some. I've gone through trials. I've read these verses and sustained myself through bankruptcy, foreclosure, job loss. Oh, bouncing checks. Every check bounces at least twice. They don't even tell you until it's bounced twice. And sometimes you can't get to the bank in time to prevent number three. Well, if you didn't have enough money to cover the check, why are you having to be charged $50 a bounce? You'll never pay that off once it starts. Come on, somebody. I've been through all of that. I saved my tithes during it, too. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and confirm the weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Who's lame? We're lame. We're not necessarily lame in legs. We're lame in finance. We're lame in our time off. We're lame in our jobs. We're lame in our investments. Why? Because we're not always keeping the Sabbath. We're not always keeping the holy days. We're not always doing our tithing. And sometimes you go to restaurants and they put stuff in your food and you don't realize it. You can't help that one. But the others we can help. We need to get healing for the things that we need. We need to get the healing to get strong and trust God that if I lose my job, there will be another. And you know what? It might not be the next one you get. It might be the third or fourth one that you get. You might be tested for a while because you know what? God is like that. We get weak. And look, we've all done it. Come on, everybody's done it. You go to the job and we're going to fire you if you don't come in on Saturday and you get weak. Come on. We're at church. But we got to get strong. See, once we get weak in that job, we're going to lose it. I wish I could tell you different. But once you get weak in a job, over that, you're going to lose that job. You're going to lose that job. The next job is probably going to be tougher. It's not until you go through the process of getting strong on the job and losing it over that, that God will start to give you the jobs he wants you to have, the ones that are going to bless you. When you get weak over the holy days, it's the same thing. You're going to lose that job. So you might as well just go ahead and quit. Y'all think I'm crazy. I've been through this a lot of times. I will never forget the last time. I was walking to work and I was praying out loud to myself. And I wasn't even spirit-filled yet. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't know why the devil tests me on this. I've been tested on this so many times. I am not going to give up. And this time he blessed me with a job I did not want. You know, God does that. Puts you in something you told yourself you'd never do that again. And it's not because you said that. It's because he knows where the blessing is and we don't see it. When I left my previous to that time, last janitor job, I threw all my stuff away. I had training films. I had all kinds of stuff. I threw it all away. I said, I will never do that again as long as I live. And I was looking for accounting jobs because I went to school to get an accounting degree. And you know what? He gave me my own business. And it was doing something I said I would never do again, but he made me prosperous at it. And I don't have to worry about the Sabbath and the holy days off finally. Because guess what? I'm the owner. So he's going to put you someplace you don't necessarily want to be to finally get the blessing you've been begging him for all of this time. But we've got to be humble enough to do it his way and not our way. We're the ones saying, I want this up here, but that up there, God knows you're never going to get to serve him. You're going to have to compromise with the world to have what we want. But if you'll do what he wants, you won't have to compromise with the world anymore. And you can just be blessed. Come on now. The other thing is, God doesn't like blessing your employer all the time. Because sometimes some of your employers aren't too swift with Him, and He doesn't like them. But to bless you, He's got to bless them. And then you don't get it all. You know, he doesn't like them skimming off. He doesn't like the devil skimming your blessing off the top. So sometimes the God is just going to make you get out of the system and get on your own, because that's the only way that He can bless you directly without having to go through somebody else who's not living the way He wants them to live. The battle's been hard, and it's going to continue to be hard right up to their very rescue. I'm not going to tell you lies. I'm not going to preach that smooth stuff. All your life's going to be easy once you start living the holy days. No, it's going to get rough. You know, I was talking to Sharon the other day, and I said, you know, I feel sorry sometimes for new people when they come in, because I know what's in front of you. Why do I know that? Because I've lived it. The battle's going to be hard. You're going to be tested over Sabbath. You're going to be tested over holy days. Your finances are going to get scrunk and scrunk and scrunk and scrunk down until you can't pay your tithes. And it's going to be a matter of you tithe in total lack to show me your absolute obedience and loyalty before you can have the blessing. I know that's the way it goes. I know that's the way it goes. I've been through it too many times. And you've got to sit there when you don't have enough money to buy food for your babies if you pay your tithes. And you've got to pay the tithes anyway and trust God. I tell the story so many times about going to church and Lanice and Raina split the only egg, the last piece of food in the house. I remember that morning looking in the cabinets and thought, boy, this looks like a new house, because there's nothing in the cabinets at all. I mean, all the little condiments are gone. There's some dust in the bottom. All the spices are gone. Everything's gone. They shared the last egg on the way to church, and I went to church anyway. Now, most folks were taking the gas money to go to church and bought some groceries with it. But no, I'm going. God said it's a commanded assembly to show up at church. I'm going. You know, we didn't miss another meal after that one. The whole weekend, we did not miss another meal because God made a way. I got hit at the door of church. You're coming to my house for lunch, Chelsea. Don't even tell me no. I got a call right before I walked out the door. Will you come over to our house tomorrow? I need Lanice to cut my hair and I'll feed y'all all day long. I mean, one thing after another happened from the time I made the decision, I'm going on to church instead of buying groceries. Okay, when you make the decision, it's just like Abraham and Isaac. God said, I've got to know you, Abraham. So until Abraham pulls the knife and starts to bring it down, God let the thing roll on. It's when he started to bring the knife, he said, stop, don't hurt the boy, I just had to test you. Wasn't about him. Every one of us has to go through that, y'all. Amen. Every one of us has got to go through that. But that's what separates the winners from the losers. That's what separates the marriage, the romancers from the kissers. That's what separates the people who are going to be children of God from those who are just going to watch. You want to be a part of the wedding, or you want to be a spectator? We all have to go through it. So it's just a matter of when we finally decide to get the guts up to trust God. We got to trust. We're talking about trusting God for our life in the tribulation. If we can't trust Him with $20, how are we going to trust Him with our life? You know, people tell me, well, I'll obey then. I'm like, what? You'll obey when? If you can't trust God now for chump change, how are you going to trust Him with everything later? You know, we talk about claim it and name it and claim it. I'm like, name it and claim it? You can't even quit working on the Sabbath. How can you name and claim anything? I mean, come on. I want you to think about our efforts here. Because with Yeshua holding the door for us, we have prevailed. I want some of you old timers in here to think about how many worshipers we've graduated. How many people have come into congregation, learned how to worship God, and gone on? Maybe they went prematurely, but they left as worshipers and they came in dry. Come on. Look how many people have come to the feast and had their lives totally transformed. And even though they don't like us anymore, their life is still totally transformed where they're at. We have affected a lot of people and a lot of things here at Hungry Hearts Ministries. And look how many people have come through here and gotten really excited about Jesus. That were just kind of lukewarm before. You know, we ought to be excited that Yeshua is doing this much with us. You know, think about that. How much and how many people have been touched by the Lord and actually heard Him speak to them in our meetings? See, we overlook that too. We take His presence for granted. That every time we show up, His presence shows up and people are touched by God. It says, Chris was telling us on Sabbath how consistently He comes for our meetings.
Thank you.
Wow. 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 You know, He watches over our meetings and He shows up wherever we go, whatever we do, even attending to our mail. You know, every person has been touched by his presence in our meetings. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. Revelation 3 and verse 9. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole earth to test those who live on the earth. You see, if you keep his commands, if you endure patiently in the things he commands you, the Sabbath, the holy days, the dietary laws, tithing, and all the commandments, really. I focus on those because that's what separates us from everybody else. If we'll walk in his commandments, all 10 of them, not just the 9 of them. If we'll patiently endure the things he's telling us, he's saying that he's going to keep us from the hour of trial. That's the great tribulation, y'all. If we will keep on, if we will keep on keeping on, he's going to rescue us. That's the promise we have. If we will just get on board and stay the course, our rescue's assured because we're doing the things he says to do. We're walking in the ways he says to walk. We're teaching others to do that. We're not getting weak in our outreach and saying, well, you know, you don't have to. We're saying, no, you have to. We're just not going to throw you out if you don't. Okay? We're going to keep on loving you when you slip up. But we're still going to keep teaching that you have to do these things because it's what God says you have to do.
Amen.
Okay, that's the difference right there. He's going to come and rescue us if we'll just keep on, if we continue to serve him. You know, that is to live by his laws, to be baptized in his spirit, and to worship him with all your heart. That's the whole focus of our ministry. To live by his laws, to be baptized in his spirit, and to worship him with all of your heart. This is the whole message of what God's telling us to do in the Bible. And that's what we're trying to send out every week. We mail these out every week. That message right there, continuously. So we're trying to mail out in every magazine, trying to communicate with our website, trying to pack into all of our literature. Live by God's laws, be baptized in His Spirit, and worship Him with all of your heart. If we'll stay the course, we'll see the rescue of the saints, and we will go early to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Man, don't call me late to the biggest party of all time. Come on now. Verse 11. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no man take your crown. To him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Man, this is a worshiper's reward. To be a permanent fixture in the temple of God to worship him, this is for folks that really are intimate and love him on that intimate personal level. Man, we want to be in the temple. Who wants to leave the presence of the Lord? I want to be there all the time. I want to feel the power of His Spirit on me all the time. I want to be in that place and live in that place and dwell in that place. I don't know about y'all. That's what I live for. The rest of it's just to get me back to the next place I can have a God encounter. You know, you have to work and pay your bills. Why? So you can get back in the presence of God. It ain't about the rest of it. Work is a means to an end. He's coming soon. Hang tough doing the work of God and living by the way. Worship Him intensely because He's coming soon. He's going to give you the worshiper's reward, that permanent place in the temple of the living God. No reference to the temple in this book means a building on earth. Every reference to the temple in the book of Revelation means the place of God's throne in heaven above. Come on, y'all. You've got a chance. You've got a chance to be at the throne on a permanent basis. Hey, come on now. Yes, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Now, what about those who are not living the way they should? Those who, for one reason or another, have been negligent in tithing. Or have we talked about getting weak at work? We've all done it at one point or another. Who've touched the unclean thing, who neglect to get off on the Sabbath and holy days. If you persist in that, it's not going to go well for you. There's not going to be no fluff preaching today. If you're not going to get on board with what God wants and you refuse consistently, you just won't turn. Now look, People get weak, we're going to be right here to pray with you. We're going to be right here to hold your hand. We're going to be right here to bring you back into the Word of God the best we can. But if a person decides, you know what, Pastor Bill's flipped his lid, and I'm just not going to get on board with that, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. The word of the Lord for those who are still testing the waters is to get on course. You know, for those of us who are on board, it's stay the course. Hold on to what you have that no man take your crown. For those not get on board, it's get on board. Get on course. The time is short. The days are evil. You don't have a lot of time to play back and forth. Make up your mind to do right today and do it. I've got a friend been telling me for years, I'm going to keep the feast next year. Let me tell you a little secret about next year. Next year don't ever come. You only live in today. You don't live in tomorrow. I say that. Look, I've been spending weeks and months living in the Feast of Tabernacles that will happen in 2 weeks. That's a hard thing to do, to get in that spirit place and actually live in that time ahead of here. But let's face it, on a practical matter, all anybody has is now. If he's not going to keep the feast now, he's not going to keep it next year, because next year don't come. That's how I tricked myself to get through school. I couldn't take it anymore. It's too much at night school. It's too much working a full-time job. I'm quitting tomorrow. That's how I got through. I'm just going to do today's work, and I'm quitting tomorrow. I'll never do this again. Tomorrow never comes, y'all. It's always today. I'm always going to quit tomorrow. Tomorrow never happens. That was a deception of mine to get the pressure and the burden of all that work that I couldn't handle anymore. I only have to worry about today. You see, he's done the same. The devil's let him do the same thing to himself. He's going to keep the feast next year. The first time he said it was in 04. Okay, look, y'all, don't do the same thing to yourself. You're not going to keep the feast next year. You're not going to save tithe next year. You're going to do it today, or you're not going to do it at all. You're not going to get off the next holy day. Kind of late. Maybe that's true today, because we're already in this holy day. So obviously, if you're at work today, you're not going to be here. But you're either going to take off for atonement, or you're not going to take off at all. Let's face it. I mean, we only have the present to worry about. The justice of God requires you to get on course with the Word of God in order to receive a reward. God is a just God. He's not going to make an exception for you. He's not going to say, you know what? Everybody else has got to live by my laws, but Billy Schultz is my boy. I love that boy, and I'm not going to make him do anything. I'm just going to take him on in. If you believe that, I have a bridge for sale in Florida. Crosses the intercoastal and make a lot of money collecting tolls on this bridge. Look, God's not going to make an exception for anybody. He's a just God. Everybody has to be the same with him. He's right with everybody. There's no this, that, yonder. There's no privilege. There's no race. There's no rich. There's no poor. There's no family. There's no nothing. You either do what he says or you don't. Is you is or is you ain't, one of his constituents. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, you know, that's brass tacks. That's hard preaching. So what is keeping you from getting on course with the Bible? Is the spirit of Laodicea. You see, we read from the letter to the church of Philadelphia, the church that has the brotherly love, that can love everybody, that has the spirit of God. But there's another church coexisting with the church of Philadelphia, and it's the next letter in Revelation, the church of Laodicea. This spirit is running rampant in these United States to dull down everybody and to cause them to compromise with the law of God. Why? Because the devil knows if he can talk you out of it today in the good times, he's got you right where he wants you when the tribulation starts. Look, if you're not willing to obey God when you've got a lovely home and you've got a nice job and you have plenty of money and all the food you can eat, he knows good and well you're not going to obey God when he can get you with no Bible, no Word, no Christians around, no Holy Ghost presence, no manifest presence of God, and you ain't got a job and they're starving you to death if you don't take that mark. Come on now. He knows when he gets you where he wants you, he can do what he wants. Like I said, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And if you ain't been faithful now, what makes you think you're going to stand in? Come on, think about it, man. It's causing you to compromise with the Word of God. Look here, you need to understand the difference between a preference and a conviction. Okay, now, I first learned this from the homeschool tapes, because you see, if homeschooling is your conviction, the law stands with you. If homeschooling is merely a preference, your kids are going to school. Okay, well, I get a little more research on this over the years. If the Sabbath is your conviction, The law stands with you. As a matter of fact, Walmart lost a court case over this, and they settled out of court because they didn't want the precedent of a ruling on this situation, but they settled out for $150 million. If the Sabbath is your conviction, the force of law is behind you. If it's only a preference, you're going to work. Come on, somebody. Want to know the difference? A preference is something you want, and a conviction is something you're willing to die for. So guess what? The first time you go to work on the Sabbath, you don't have a conviction. It was only your preference, and you're going to work whenever they tell you. See how the devil is? He gets you to get weak one time, you're done. People don't understand when I try to explain it to them. Immediately when you're confronted, you have to say, I will quit right now. And if you're fired, you can sue. And they know that. Some are stupid enough to do it anyway, but you can sue because it's your conviction. I have learned about the Bible. I know it's a Sabbath, and I'm convicted. I will die before I go to work on the Sabbath. The law will stand with you now. But once you go to work, you just betrayed yourself. Now you'll never get it back. So I say if you do it once, you'll have to just quit. That's hard. That's hard teaching. But you know what? I'd rather have any one of you go through the poverty, the deprivation, the loss of house, the economic trial, and make it in the rescue of God than to watch you keep your house, keep your job, compromise with God, and be left. Come on, somebody. You'll thank me in the day. You may hate my guts today, but you'll thank me in the day when we're standing at the beam of judgment. You'll be going, my boy Billy took care of me when it was bad. Oh, I didn't like to hear it. Oh, I hated his guts for a long time. But he stood there with me. He held my hand. He got me through. And he gave me the right advice because I'm here today. Come on, somebody. Praise God. You know, you lose all the way around. You know, we still love you. We'll always love you. We'll always care for you. This is the Church of Philadelphia. We'll see you through your trials. It doesn't mean we all have money to pony up and cover the note when it ain't there, but we'll be there with you. You'll have someone to talk to, someone to cry with, someone to pray with, someone that will be standing in the gap for you with God. But you know what? I can't stop you from going through your trials and your tests because that's God ordained to make the character in you. I can't change that. And I wouldn't anymore. There's a time I would have, but I wouldn't anymore if I wanted to. You know why? Because I've learned from hard experience that trial of your character is necessary to make in you the character of the living God. And without that trial, you ain't going to be in the kingdom of God, and you ain't going to have a reward when you get there, and you're not going to be anybody of any count if you can get in at all. But if you go through the trials and you let the character of the living God be formed in you, you'll have a reward in heaven, you'll be in the kingdom, you'll be a son or a daughter of the king, and you'll have a position of standing in the government of Almighty God on earth. Come on, somebody. Revelation 3, verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Any question who this is? I mean, he lays it out for you, doesn't he? I know your deeds. He knows Philadelphia's deeds too. He's happy with Philadelphia's deeds. He's happy with their deeds. I don't know about you, but it means an awful lot to me to hear the Lord tell me he's happy with my deeds. Amen. Come on. Come on. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. One minute you're in the body, and one minute you're out of the body. That's a bad place to be. Man, you're in the body of Christ, and then you're out of the body of Christ because he spits you out. Not cool. You say, I'm rich and have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel to you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. See, that's what we're up against in America. That's why people can come in and feel the power and the presence of God and walk back out of here. I don't have to do all that. That's why people can come in here who are living right. I don't need the extra power of the Holy Ghost. I just don't need that. Because they can't see. But you get the eye salve from being Holy Spirit baptized. Come on, somebody. You got to have that. You know, the time of Yeshua's return on the Feast of Trumpets is supposed to be a time of great rejoicing. But for those who are not on board, for those who are not on course, it's going to be a time of great mourning, bitterness, and agony. Look, you're going to come to church. Or maybe you'll be in church and we'll be having a big time into worship. And we'll hear the shofar, but you'll just think it was me or Bev. And then when the DVD player goes off, you'll realize that everybody ain't here. And it will be a bad time. That day of rejoicing will be a day of bitterness and agony. I mean, right there on the spot. Come on now. Come on. Our walk has got to back up our talk. Look, we're liable for every single word in this Bible, Genesis to maps. We better be living by them, even the ones we don't like. We talked about that last night. You know, the Lord said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. We're talking about taxes. I'm like, Lord, did you have to put that in there? Come on now. You didn't have to say that. Did you really? I mean, couldn't you left that out? Pay your temple dues and be happy, but Caesar, who cares about him? Come on now. I mean, you had to tell me I had to pay my taxes? That means you can't cheat on them either. No. Come on, somebody. I don't like paying my taxes. He told me to pay them, so guess what, baby? They're as squeaky clean as they can be. I mean, I read those rules and I follow them best of my ability because I'm not going to cheat on those taxes. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because Jesus said not to. And for all the IRS people who ever get across this message, I would always gladly pay my taxes to Caesar. So we've got to make sure that we're doing this. You know, this gold here is not worldly money he's talking about. It's the character of the living to a God, to obey him regardless of your circumstance, regardless of how bad it is or how good it is. If you don't believe me, let's go to 1 Peter, because 1 Peter talks about this in detail. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the gold. As a matter of fact, in this passage of Scripture, Peter uses Greek mining terms. He uses Greek mining terms. The first time I got deep in this verse, I owned a lot of gold mining stocks at that time, and so I was familiar with the mining terms and what they have to do to the rock to get gold out of it and how they test the gold to make sure the gold is pure. Look, the whole purpose of your walk on planet Earth with the Holy Ghost is that God is producing His character in your spirit. Amen. That's why people who preach easy times. I mean, look, I love prosperity gospel. Okay? I love it. I love being prosperous. But let me tell you something. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want to make your way easy. He doesn't. See, everybody wants to read the gospels and see how easy Jesus was on anybody else. Now, why did all of a sudden he change? He's going to want to make life easy for you. He's jacking everybody up left and right for sinning and getting in their face over not living right. And for some reason, he's just going to make life easy for you. Come on, man. You got to show me that in the Bible. Hey, well, you got the special pass in the New Testament. He's not going to jack you up. Jesus gets in everybody's face to do right. He don't have regard for any man. So what makes you think that all of a sudden your life is going to get to be easy when everybody else's has to be hard? God said, I'm going to make your life hard so you can learn to have my character. Now, once you pass the test, then the test kind of fades away. Why? Because it has no hold over you anymore.
Thank you, Father.
Now look, it only is a test while it has a hold over you. As long as you have the stronghold in your mind of, I can't do it that way, then it's going to keep coming. It's going to get worse, and 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 it's going to get real bad until you finally give in. So okay, let's figure this thing out. Why make it hard on yourself? God said do it, just go right on for it. Because it's not going to get any better. Until you give in. He's not going to play with you. Come on, I had to go through bankruptcy and foreclosure. I know. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you. Kept in heaven for who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's your rescue. That salvation to be revealed in the last time is your rescue. You are being shielded, protected, and kept in God for the rescue. But now, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We don't like that preaching. Oh, Pastor, that's hard. Let me tell you something. The trials are going to come. You're being kept and shielded and protected for the rescue. The trials are going to come. It is hard to rejoice in them, but we have to learn to rejoice in them because these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine. The trials have to come to show that you are walking in belief, that you have the faith that will keep the Sabbath, that you have the faith that will keep the holy days, that you have the faith that will keep the dietary laws, and that you will have the faith to pay and set aside your tithes. You've got to show your faith as gold. If you say, I have faith, and then you walk out and don't do it, that's not faith. That's unbelief. Come on, somebody. I have the faith. I know Sabbath is Saturday, but you go to work anyway. That's not faith. That's unbelief. Oh, I know God's going to bless me if I tithe, and you don't tithe. That's not faith. That's unbelief. The trials come so that you will finally stand up for God and do what is right. And that proves your faith at that point is genuine. These are Greek mining terms used of gold. It's your faith will be a dokimos, which is gold that's gone through the fire and now they know it's pure 24 karat. Come on, somebody. God's going to put you in the fire over and over and over again until your faith comes up 24 karat. Don't we sing the song, Burn in Me? Burn away the dross, bring forth the gold. What do you think you're praying for when you pray that song? Bring me trials, Lord, till all of the junk is gone in my life. That's what you're singing. When you're singing Burn in Me, you're asking for trials to come. You're asking for your unconverted mate to get in your face. You're asking for your boss to tell you to come to work on the Sabbath. You're asking for your bills to come up short when you still pay the tithe. You're asking for it. You're asking for the waiter to bring your food packed full of pork so you can send it back. You're asking for an opportunity to prove your faith is genuine. We never look at it that way, do we? We're just all happy. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy God burn in me. And we're like, oh yeah, Holy Ghost power. Well, you get that. And you get a lot more of it after you go through the trial and you come through with flying colors, baby. You get a lot more when the next job comes and you don't have to worry about the Sabbath because they're closed on Saturday. Hey, come on, hey. And you get it when her boss knows she's taking off on the Sabbath. They said, well, what if we fire you? And the other boss goes, she ain't coming, don't bother. See, a lot of people know about this. A lot of people know about this. You'll have a testimony. Like Coleman said, there's no testimony without a test. Come on, and we always want life without a test. The test is coming. That's what the power of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is all about, so that you have the power to walk through, that you have the power to believe when your checkbook is overdrawn and you got to pay your tithes. Come on, somebody. To have the power to believe, to make that offering when you know you can't pay the rent. Come on. These are the things that keep you going and keep you alive. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and in the glory of the holy angels. Man, look. When do you want God to be happy with you? If we refuse to obey him now, he's saying, what good is it if you gain the whole world? What good is it if you have as much money as George Soros or Donald Trump or Warren Buffett? What good is it? If you're going to break God's holy days and his Sabbath, what good is it? If you have a big, fine home, what good will it be for you if you lose your very soul over it? Man, we're going to a place where none of these things are going to matter. Come on, y'all. Look, when God comes back, He says the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. In the world to come, when Jesus sits on the throne in Jerusalem, who do you think is going to have the big fine homes? Who do you think is going to have all the stuff? It ain't going to be the idiots who are breaking God's laws and commandments, I can assure you. It's going to be His children. What did He tell them when they came to collect the tax? What did Jesus say when they came to collect the tax on Peter? And Peter went back and said, well, I told them we pay the tax. And He said, well, Peter, do the sons of the kingdom pay the tax? If you live right today, you're going to be a son of the kingdom. You're not going to have to worry about property or servants or wealth. All of that stuff is going to pour into Jerusalem, it says, until the city's overflowed with wealth. Who do you think it's coming for? It's coming for the children of God. You don't want your reward today. Trust me. You don't want your reward today. God knows how to invest wisely, thank you. And if you get it today, what are you going to spend it on? Milkshakes at McDonald's, coffee at Starbucks, shoes, cars, rims. Look, it's going to come to you in the kingdom in the fullness of wealth. You don't want your reward now. Trust me, you don't want any reward now. You want as little reward for your works as you can get right now. Keep it invested in the kingdom of God so that the fruit of it comes into His house, and then you won't have to worry about what you're going to have. He asked Esther, I will give you up to half my kingdom. And Esther said, I don't want half. Half? Half the kingdom? I want the king that I get it all. If you want the king, y'all didn't get that. Come on, y'all supposed to be Holy Ghost baptized. If you've got the king, you've got the whole kingdom. I mean, we're talking about being Yeshua's wife. He's rubbing his husband. I mean, come on, think about it. If the kingdom is his and the earth and the fullness thereof, what do you want with the pieces for? You know what I'm saying? Pieces. So what if you lose your house? If you have to go in the tribulation in order to keep it, will it be worth it? So what if you lose your investment accounts? You want to chase them after them in the tribulation of the devil? I don't want none of that stuff, man. Just take me out of here. Clothes is optional. Take me out of here, man. Because he's got better robes to put on me. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want these. I want my robe. I've seen it already. I want what he's got. I don't want what I have. And there's nothing here for me. There's nothing here that I could have had for me that's worth going into tribulation for. Look, there's a lot of things God can't make. One is your character. Y'all didn't get that. Look, God puts His Spirit in you. That's all He can do. You have to supply the desire and the willingness to obey. This is the whole point of your having free will. You, when confronted with the devil, and make no mistake, when someone is putting the pressure on you to violate God's laws and commandments, okay? Maybe your test commandment ain't the Sabbath. Maybe you got a problem with stealing, okay? I know Sabbath keepers who like to steal, okay? Their test commandment is not whether they're going to be off on Saturday. Their test commandment is whether they're going to take the five-finger discount on something that don't belong to them. When the devil's talking junk in your head, you've got to have the faith in God, the belief, and the power of the Holy Spirit to say, no, I'm not taking it. No, I'm going to be with my God on Shabbat. I don't care what you guys are doing. Open the store. I don't care. I won't be there. Now look, I did it in the car business. She did it in the hairdressing business. None of y'all have faced that kind of stuff. The biggest day in the car business is Saturday. They sold more cars on Saturday than all of the rest of the week combined. They took me every single Sunday I showed up for work like a little child by the hand and walked me to the board. Now, Billy, you're a good salesman, Billy. And if you'd been here, Billy, you'd have gotten three or four deals out of that many cars sold. And if you had three or four cars sold every Saturday, Billy, you'd have been our number one salesman. How do you explain to somebody like that the only reason you're even in this is because God gave you the deals that you got during the week, and if I came up on Saturday, I wouldn't have got a single deal on the board, but I'd have lost my soul. And I'd have lost my eternity. See, you can't explain to them because they're blind by the God of this world, Satan, the devil. There's no trying to out-argue it. It's a matter of, I will stand tall. Look, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have worshipped the idol and they wouldn't have gone in the furnace. But nobody would know their names today either. They wouldn't have a reward in the kingdom of heaven right now either. They wouldn't have earned a ton of reward through the years from all the people that looked at their testimony and stood tall for God because of the witness they gave. Huh? Come on, now think about it. They didn't have to go in the fiery furnace, but they didn't have to meet Jesus Christ in the fire either. Huh? They didn't have to meet their God that day either, but they had to go in the test to find God in the fire. Come on, somebody. You know, these things are going to happen, but if you want to meet God, you got to go in the fire. Amen. Time to get that message out. Go in the smelter. I will obey God. I have the character to stand in the face of these satanic attacks on my purpose. I've gained my soul in a good standing with Yeshua because I've been willing to go through bankruptcy, foreclosure, loss of jobs, and all the rest of it. I've written that tithe check when I knew I would bounce three others. I've done it. Hurry, cash it quick. Come on, don't play with that thing. Get it to the bank. The others aren't going to be good. Make sure that one goes first. I don't want to bounce that one. Look, I've gone through all this stuff, y'all. Y'all can do it. Look, he has taken the most foolish person in this room, and he has brought me through it all so that every one of you can look and say, well, hey, surely if that fool can do it, any of us can do it. Come on, it's a cakewalk for us. See, y'all haven't known me long enough. Before I got saved, I was literally the most foolish person in this room. And the only thing you see with me in my right mind is the power of Jesus Christ living in my life. That's my testimony. I was a complete stupid idiot before I got saved. And so everything you see in me is the power of Christ living in me. Because believe me, she'll tell you, this ain't what I was like when I got saved. So now, you need to be thinking about becoming rich for the rescue of the saints, not rich in the money of this world, and not worry about worldly wealth, not lose heart and grow weary as the trials encompass you, because you are building an eternal reward in an eternal place. That doesn't mean not to work, but it means to put God's laws first. Don't take jobs that cause you to work on the Sabbath. Don't take jobs that won't let you off on the holy days. That's why we give the holy day calendars out. Take all you want. Look, don't ever go into a job that you don't give them a holy day calendar. Hey, I'm taking these days off, okay? There they are, 10 years out. I'll work every other day. Volunteer to work on Christmas. Be a hero. Come on. You don't care about the day anyway. So be a hero and work on all the pagan holidays. Show up when everybody else wants. They don't want to go to work on Sunday. You go to work on Sunday. Hey, you'll get Friday off a lot of times too, and that's great to have the preparation day out before the Sabbath to start with. Be the hero on Sunday. Some of y'all get paid extra. Be the hero on all the other times so you can stand and walk in God's holy covenant. Don't take jobs that require you to do stuff. It'll be a trial, but that's where the gold is refined. The character's not made in the easy times, but in the tough times. I've earned the right to say these things because I've been through a lot of these tough times. Character's produced in the heat of trials. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to go through it now? When we're talking about such easy things as losing a job? Unemployment's only 6%. I was unemployed not even as a result of God's anything when it was 10% a couple of times. Some of y'all don't remember those times. I've been unemployed a lot that had nothing to do with my calling and conviction. I got through it then without God's help. Come on. Some of us are old enough to have been through some hard times. I've gone through them without God's help. So what's the big deal about going through one with God's help? I mean, think about it. Some of us are old enough to have gone through some hard times before we got saved. So? And we're too baby-fied to go through it now with God's help? Come on, think of that. I mean, that's a total lack of faith. That's capitulation to the devil. If I can go through bankruptcy and foreclosure and the kind of stuff that we talked about last night when we first got married. I mean, when we first got married, I lived on $5 a week worth of beans and rice. Come on. Come on. I didn't have God in my life. I was a wild heathen. If I can go through that kind of deprivation in those days, what's the big deal when I got God on my side? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we really don't put this in perspective sometimes. So, Do you want to go through it now when times are relatively good, when jobs are relatively easy to find? I mean, there's still help wanted signs up in Jackson, Tennessee. I know businesses in this town right now within a mile of this building right here that don't even bother to put a help wanted sign up anymore because they can't get anybody to show up and work. The Dunkin' Donuts right over here cannot get people to show up and work. Okay, we had 75 minutes. Turn the CD off. They ain't about to put a sign up anymore. They only make donuts once a day, not because they don't sell them all out, because they can't get anybody else to show up and make donuts a second time. Been that way the whole time I've lived in Jackson. There's still people that can't even get folks to show up and work. So do you want to go through it now?